Don't you think Brother Art's been doing an excellent job picking out sermons to match psalms to hymns to match the sermons? I think he's been doing excellent. And that psalm could not have been more perfect for the message today. As we get started, I want to say something. God prepares his pastor to preach from certain passages. Sometimes it frightens me when I read ahead and I see a passage we're going to come up to that involves trials, because I know God's going to send me a trial so that I can preach it from experience. And that's almost always the case. He first rebukes and comforts his pastor. That's what preachers mean when they stand in the pulpit and they say, "I'm preaching this to me. I've been laid low. This is for me." And I pray, Lord, bless it to you too. If it blesses my heart, it'll bless your heart. I pray that. Now, throughout Scripture, we see believers physically sleeping when they should be awake. And the picture there is of a believer sleeping spiritually in our sin. We have Jonah, for an example. He ran from God. God told him to go to Nineveh, and he went. When you rebel, you're going to find a way to escape. He went down, and he found a ship going to Tarsus. And he got on it. He had the fare to pay. He was going on his way, and I bet he thought, "Oh, God's just opened this door for me. I'm going this way." And all the while, he was doing exactly opposite what God said to do in His Word. And so a storm came, and Jonah, we read, was asleep. Picture of a sinner asleep spiritually. And the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, "What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not." And then you have Christ's apostles in the Garden of Gethsemane. We're not above this spiritual sleep. Christ's own apostles were asleep. And Christ came and he said unto the disciples, when he findeth them asleep, he said unto Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation, into trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is so weak." And this is why Christ must wake us, brethren. It's that we enter not into trial. Because if we sleep, if we sleep spiritually, God's going to send us a trial, and He's going to give us a rude awakening. And when He awakes you, you woke. You're going to wake up. You're going to get the lesson. And that's what He'll do. If we're in a trial right now, I want you to see why in the text. I want you to see why in our text. Romans 13. Verse 11. If you're a child of God in a trial, here's why. Romans 13:11. "In that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness," that's sexual sins, "not in strife and envying," not fighting with one another, "but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." Here's my main point. Before God uses us in His kingdom, I mean, each each time He's about to use us in a major way, God is going to wake us up. And Christ is going to enter in and make us put on Christ that He might be our strength so that God can really use us in His service. He's going to do that every time He's about to really use His people. Now, first of all, often God's saints need to be awoken before we know what time it is. Very often we have to be woke up to know what time it is. Verse 11, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Now there's a sense in which every believer knows what time it is. We know this is the day of grace. We know this is the gospel age. We know that this is the day of salvation. We know it because Christ has come and given us light. He's come and awakened us from spiritual death in regeneration and given us light. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 9, he said, God hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. He shed the light on us. But there are times, this also means this, there are times in the life of a believer when we fall asleep spiritually, and God has to awake us. God has to wake us up, and He makes us know that now is high time to awake. To awake out of sleep. Have you ever been asleep and your alarm clock didn't go off? And when you woke up, you saw the alarm clock and you saw how late you are, and you just frantically jumped up and you realized it's high time to awake from sleep. I got to get going. That's the urgency we're talking about. For believers who are still sinners, it's so easy for us to be lulled into sleep. And here's the thing about it. We don't know it. We don't know it. There's some aspects of our lives that we appear to be going through the form of religion, be doing the things God has given us to do. Maybe we're doing them faithfully. But at the same time, inwardly, we're spiritually asleep. And we end up in sin. We end up committing sin. We end up walking contrary to the Word of God, to God's clear, revealed will. We're asleep. Have you ever been in that state physically, you know, where you're almost asleep, but you're still just a little awake? And somebody calls for you, and you lay there and you make excuse why you can't get up. Do you know that we do that with Christ too? When we're in this state, spiritually asleep, we're awake, we're regenerated, we have light, but we're spiritually asleep. And Christ calls, and we begin to make excuse why we can't awake. And He has to effectually, irresistibly wake us up. You want me to show you that in Scripture? Go to Song of Solomon, chapter 5. Song of Solomon, chapter 5. How do we hear Christ speak? We hear it in our conscience. You have a guilty conscience over something, and you know it's wrong, but you know what we do? We try to silence that guilty conscience. We try to put it out of mind. We're asleep, we're awake, but we're half asleep, and we won't wake up for Christ. Here it is. Look, Song of Solomon 5, verse 2. I sleep, but my heart waketh. Now, that's often our state right there. We're spiritually asleep, but we're awake. We're regenerated. We have a new heart, but we're spiritually asleep. And here she hears, this is Christ's bride. This is a picture of you and me who believe. She hears Christ speak. It's the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with dew and my locks with the drops of the night. But being in our slumber, we ignore our conscience and we try to make excuses why we can't wake up. Look at what she said. I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I have washed my feet. How shall I defile them? Then Christ has to wake us up. Look, my beloved put in his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him. He worked something inwardly for me. Made me be moved for him. I rose up to open to my beloved. She woke up, didn't she? And my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. Christ left his scent there. And I opened to my beloved. But you know what Christ awakes us to find out? He awakes us to find out that we're far removed from Christ. Look at this. But my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. And my soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. You ever been there? David said he complained that the heavens were brass. God wouldn't hear him. But then God sends his pastor, and he rebukes us, and he brings us low through the gospel. Look at this. The watchman, that's the pastor, the watchman that went about the city found me. They smote me. They wounded me. The keepers of the walls, that's his pastor, the watchman, they took away my veil from me. They took my vain covering from me. And what's the reason? What happens then? Christ has made us long for him with urgency. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that you tell him, I am sick with love. I'm sick with love. I pray Christ will wake us up this morning and make us sick with love. Make us seek him. He said if we seek him with all our heart, we'll find him. I pray he worked this work in us this morning. Now, back in Romans 13, we're given some reasons to awake from spiritual sleep. Isn't God so kind and benevolent to us? He doesn't have to give us reasons. He's God. All he has to say is wake up. But he gives us some reasons. Look here. One reason Christ awakes us, he says in verse 11, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Christ is our salvation. He's talking about Christ. Christ is our Savior. He's our salvation from guilt. Because he is our righteousness. He is our righteousness. It's not just that he made us righteous. He himself is our righteousness. Christ is our salvation in that he is our sanctifier. And he's our sanctification. He's our redeemer and he's our redemption. He is our liberty. And he is our holiness. Christ is the author and finisher of our faith. He brings us to obey him, and it's his faith that saves us. He's our salvation in every way. We couldn't save ourselves. He's our salvation. Now, he says here we're nearer to Christ's return, or we're nearer to go and be with Christ than when we first believed on him. That's true of all of us who believe. We're nearer to either die and go to be with Christ, or either Christ is going to return. And we don't know the date that He's going to return. And so the Scripture says, Christ said, watch therefore. Watch, be awake. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. He said, I'm going to come as a thief in the night. Watch. You don't know the hour, so stay awake and watch. Would we want Christ to return and find us asleep? Would we want Christ to return and find us asleep in sin, committing sin, covered in spots and blemishes because we're sleeping and committing sin? You want Christ to come back and find you that way? Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. That's one reason we're to wake up. Another reason it's high time to awake, verse 12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Now, one, this means we're no longer children of darkness. I read Ephesians 5 to you because it says we once were children of darkness. We're not now. Christ the light has come and He's given us light, and now we're children of light. And He commands us now, walk as children of light. Walk as children of light. The darkness is gone. The day is at hand. A new day has dawned. But there's another thing this means too. In those times in a believer's life when the Lord's about to use us, He first sends a trial and He wakes us up. And He teaches us that this darkness is gone. It's a new day. The day is dawning. There's something new about to happen. You need to wake up. You need to be ready for it. It's coming. It's coming. There are several things that have happened to me lately. And I've been trying to understand these things spiritually. The Lord has sent sickness to Brother Don so that he can't serve like he has in the past. He's near death. And he's been a father to me in the gospel. I talk to him nearly every day. And this has broken my heart. It really has broken my heart. And then, on top of this, the Lord has sent me a severe trial because I needed it. I needed to be woken up. And He's done that. And He did it in such a way that I've been walking around thinking that He's about to take everything away from me. That He's about to take the church away from me and cast me out. And then this happened. Towards the end of the week, I got three phone calls from faithful pastors that I respect. And each of them said the same thing to me. They said, Clay, you need to get ready to serve your generation like you have never served it before. And then I sat down. I hadn't been able to study all week because I'm just in such a mess. And I sat down to study. And this is the next passage we're in. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. It's a new day. Wake up. I'm convinced that all of this is the Lord waking me up to say to me, Clay, you've slept long enough in your sin, in your rebellion against me. Oh, I've come to this pulpit prepared, but I've been asleep. My personal life's been a mess. And the Lord, I think, has woken me up to say, no more. The night is over. The darkness is gone. The day's at hand. There's a dawning of a new day now. I'm about to use you. You need to wake up. I'm convinced that's what this is about. And for the Lord's trial, for the Lord's child, this is what every trial's about. The Lord, in some capacity, is waking us up because we've been in a spiritual slumber. And He's teaching us, wake up. You know, men always are talking about revival. They want revival. Are they talking about growing in grace? This is how revival comes. This is how growth in grace and knowledge of Christ comes. He comes and He wakes you up. And He grows you inwardly. And makes you put off some things, makes you put on some things. And that's my last point. What does Christ make His child put off, and what does He make us put on? Now, again, we're looking at how we're dressed. He makes us put off certain attire and put on other attire. Our dress is very important before God. Don preached a message on this passage titled, How Should We Dress? Verse 12, here's what He tells us to cast off. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. He lists a few of those works of darkness in the second part of verse 13. He says, walk not in rioting and drunkenness. Don't walk in reveling and partying and being drunk on alcohol and drugs. He says, don't do that anymore. Put that off. It's time. It's high time you wake out of sleep. Put that off. Verse 13, not in chambering and wantonness. Cast off sexual sins. Be done with that. Verse 13, not in strife and envying. It's high time to cast off fighting amongst ourselves. As He said in Ephesians 5, it's time to wake up and submit one to another. All brethren are to submit to one to another. And of course, now Paul can't give us a whole catalog of our sins here. He's just given us a few. But then he generalizes what we are to do, how we're to walk, and what we are to do and what we're not to do. He says in verse 13, let us walk honestly as in the day. Let us walk honestly as in the daylight. And then in verse 14, the second part, he says, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. If I'm doing what's contrary to God's Word, if I insist I'm going to go on and I'm going to do what God's Word tells me not to do, drunkenness, sexual sins, fighting, if I go on in my sins when I know God says don't do it, all I'm doing is making provision for my flesh. That's it. I'm fulfilling the lusts of my flesh. That's all I'm doing. God's not in it. Christ is not in it. And understand this now. When a believer walks contrary to the Word of God, when a believer does, when one of God's saints does, God's going to make it so that there's going to be a very real spiritual warfare going on. Your flesh is going to be lusting against the Spirit, and the Spirit's going to be lusting against the flesh, but the Holy Spirit of God is not going to let the flesh win. There'll be times you think He's going to win, but He ain't going to win. He's not going to win. Now, the devil appeals to our flesh. You know how? By pointing out how others ought to be treating us. And every time that I've been offended by what another brother said or did, every time I've been offended by what another brother said or did, it was because I was thinking I deserve better. And that's nothing but making provision for the flesh, fulfilling the lust of the flesh. I don't deserve a thing. That's me needing to be awakened spiritually. And so, it takes God to teach a child this in the heart. He has to do this in the heart. A religion can just white the sepulcher on the outside, and in the heart it'll still be full of dead men's bones. But not when the Lord does it. When the Lord does it, He comes and He wakes you up spiritually in the heart. And when He does that, there's going to be some physical changes take place. He's going to make the flesh follow. He's going to make you cast off some things. He's going to make you put on some things. And this outward work begins when the Spirit of God makes us put on something spiritually in our heart. That's how it begins. Here's another example of our being dressed. He says, first of all, let us put on the armor of light. That's what we're to put on, the armor of light. Look at Ephesians 6. I'll show you what this is. Ephesians 6. In verse 11, it says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You see how it's an analogy of a soldier dressed all in his suit, in his apparel of armor. Look at this. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That's what the devil wants you to think. Oh, this is just a physical trial. This is just you wrestling against flesh and blood. No, it's not. It's never that for a believer. Never. We're wrestling against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Since we're wrestling spiritual foes, we got to have a spiritual armor, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. That means when the trial comes. Stand therefore, here it is, having your loins girt about with truth. That means I'm going to have to be in this word, knowing the truth of God. I couldn't sleep last night. And I was laying there at 4 o'clock this morning, and I thought, I could just lay here and keep thinking, or I could get up and get ready and go on over to the church building and get in the Word of God so that I feel better. And that's what I did. I got here about 4:30 this morning, and I finished up about 6:30, and I've been sitting here from 6:30 waiting on y'all to get here, just looking over my notes. But that's what we got to do. We've got to have our loins girt about with truth. And he says, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, righteousness in our heart, in your feet, shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, teaching us how to walk. And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. When you're close to Christ and you're in a spiritual frame of mind and you really believe in on Christ, isn't it so much easier to be shielded from the fiery darts of the wicked? It just doesn't bother you. But when you don't have that shield up, it gets you, sets you on fire with anger. Take the helmet of salvation. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And look at this now. We just because we have this armor, we don't have any power in ourselves. We got to submit to God, ask Him to be our power. Look, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. That means watching means being awake. And for me, Paul says, as a pastor, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So first of all, God tells us, put on this whole armor. And He's protecting every part of the believer, isn't He? Do you see that? From our head to our feet, He's got us covered in His spiritual armor. And then, this is another thing that He makes us put on in the heart. Not only the armor of light, but He makes us put on Christ the light. And that's really what putting on this armor is. It's putting on Christ, who is our light. Look back at Romans 13, verse 14. He says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you see this? You can't put on the Lord Jesus Christ and cease making provision for the flesh, or continue making provision for the flesh and fulfilling the lust of the flesh. You can't do both. You can't put on Christ and continue fulfilling the lust of the flesh. You got to do one or the other. And when the Spirit of God comes, He makes you put on Christ from the heart. From the heart. And when He does this, brethren, that's when you have a growth in grace. That's when you really behold Christ. That's when you'll start really being constrained in your heart by the love of Christ. That's when He irresistibly, effectually makes you put off these physical things that you've been doing, these sinful things. He makes you put them off. You didn't have any power to do it before. You know why? You were asleep. You'd been lulled to sleep in those things. But now Christ comes and He works this work in the heart and He wakes you up. Makes you see you're far removed from Christ. And He makes you yearn for Him. Makes you sick with love. And then He comes. And when you behold Him new, like it's the first day you ever beheld Him, that's when He grows you in grace. You see how knowledgeable He is. You see His knowledge in how He's saving us and not leaving us in our slumbering, sleeping state. How He's able to wake us up. How He's able to keep us. That's the knowledge you grow in. It's the knowledge of how He's able to do these things. And now, brethren, that's what I pray. I really believe this is what God has done for me. I preached to you Thursday night and I said, the Lord's granted me repentance. And then, right after that, I began to get these calls from these pastors and I sat down at this passage and I really believe the Lord is telling me, wake up, I'm fixing to use you. And so I got to put off some things. And that's what I'm bound and determined to do. Because I believe this is effectual. I believe it's effectual. I believe the Lord has spoken irresistibly in my heart. You pray for me. You pray for me. And I'll pray for you. And I pray God wake us up. And make us truly, truly be awake. That we might serve Him like we've never served Him before. Amen.